John and Pamela Sullivan almost opened a restaurant in upstate New York until they found a place that called their hearts, Placencia, Belize. Now their restaurant, Rumfish, is one of the most popular on the peninsula, and they're busy raising their daughter, who was actually born in Belize. It's a story that will inspire anyone who ever thought of owning their own business in a tropical paradise. And John and Pamela share it with us on this edition of Finding Your Overseas Paradise. Pamela, John, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. We're sitting here at your place, Rumfish, in Placencia Village on the beautiful Placencia Peninsula of Belize. And you guys, at least you, John, were in the restaurant business before you got here, but this is the first restaurant you've owned. Tell me a little bit about what you were doing before you left the States and why you came to Belize.
Well, I have to say that I've been in and out of the restaurant business now for the last 30 years. I worked every which way, anywhere from the back of the house to the front of the house, from starting from the kitchen all the way up to the front to general management. But I never opened my own place, and Belize seemed like the right fit for Pam and I.
Well, there's a story, a long, long story behind why we ended up here, but... We have some friends that own a resort on Ambergris Key, and I had been traveling down for years and spending a lot of time there, and every time I'd come down, I'd be offered a job by somebody to run a resort or do something, and nothing ever came to fruition, and I had been offered a job finally 1 year to be a general manager of a resort, and I was ready to go. And then about 3 weeks before I was about to leave, they called to say that they had been bought out by a Canadian company, that I was not going to be coming down. And it just so happened that was the night John and I had our first date. And so I spent the whole night, you know, oh, I'm not moving to Belize. And so 2 years later when he proposed, he said, where do you want to get married? And we both sort of said jointly, Belize.
Yeah.
So we actually had been, we were opening a restaurant in upstate New York. I was always in the wine business, in and out of the wine business. John had always been in restaurants, so we had some partners that we were working with in upstate to open a restaurant there. We were just running into all sorts of complications and roadblocks, and so we said, let's just back burner it. We'll go get married, have a nice wedding, and come back and revisit it. And so on our honeymoon, we honeymooned in Placencia at the Turtle Inn, and on our way to the airstrip, the man that owns this building heard about us, and he came by. He swooped us up, sent our luggage to the airstrip, brought us in here, and we said, uh-huh, we'll do it. We moved down 8 weeks later. We were living in New York, and 8 weeks later, we packed our bags and came down, and we've been here ever since.
So, Pamela, you had been coming down because you had a friend on Ambergris Key. What was the process that got you interested in Belize, John?
Well,
Me?
Yeah, I mean, Pam, you know, Pam showed me the... showed me the country, and obviously I always wanted to come down here for years and years, and this seemed like the right opportunity to have a destination wedding, and so we just fell in love with this village. I mean, we weren't even going to come to Placencia. It was going to be Ambergris, but it was just a coin toss.
Yeah.
And the coin landed on obviously Placencia when we decided where we were going to honeymoon after our wedding. And so we just fell in love with this little village. It was quaint. Kind of reminded me a little bit about Venice, California, had some nuances of Venice, but way, way back. And it's, we saw a lot of potential down here for us, somewhere we could cut our teeth and open a place and sort of get ourselves started and maybe open up our first unit and see how it went and, you know, sort of see how it went.
And you guys were trying at the time to open up a place in New York. Mm-hmm. What were the flips and twists there like compared to the flips and twists of opening a business here?
There was nothing but flips and twists there. It was just constant. Yeah. And then here there were none.
Wow.
It was just like, we laid it out. The man that owns the building was flying up to Belize City. So we met up at the international airport. We drafted everything out on little cocktail napkins, and that was it. We were like, perfect, let's do it. They helped us basically expedite all of the you know, the details, permits. The work permits, the liquor license. So that was, we had nothing to worry about with that.
And we literally, when we got here, all we had to do was just drop our bags and we went to work. So everything was already done.
Paint the walls. We had, I mean, we had to outfit the place, paint it, you know, build the furniture, create the menu.
And the location is incredible. You, our listeners can probably hear the background noise. There's a very important soccer game going on right across the street because you guys are on the main drag of Placencia. The sport field is right across the street, and you're kind of in the heart of town. You're in the nexus of the village here.
Yeah.
How long has the restaurant been open now, and how has business been going for you?
It's been open just under 3 years. We opened November 2008, and it's just incrementally better and better and better. This season actually proved to be so busy that we're going to build a small expansion deck off the front we can have a few more tables because you can't send that many people away and feel good about it. So
the way we've done our concept is we're doing everything local, and when we sort of come up with our recipes is we'll come up with, say, for example, some sort of an ingredient that comes our way, and we'll build a recipe around that ingredient rather than finding a recipe and trying to find all the ingredients for it. So that seems to be our concept and sort of our formula.
We laugh that it's so popular in the States to do everything locally sourced, and it's so tres chic, and we say, here, it's tres necesito, because we have no choice, you know, unless you want to fly stuff down on the plane, which we do have to do every once in a while.
That's true.
You just, you know, the fish comes off the sea in the morning, guy's filleting it, John goes down, he picks it up, or the lobster, or the conch, and if the farmers have brought something amazing, we work with it. You know, if we see, you know, kale, which we rarely do, or something, you know, we work with it.
And it doesn't hurt your menu at all. I'm looking right behind you guys at the board for today. You've got lobster fra diavolo and tuna puttanesca on there. Just imagination helps you put those things together.
Well, and, you know, we haven't had tuna on the menu for probably a couple months, but a fisherman walked in this morning and said, I've got 10 pounds of beautiful, fresh
bonito tuna.
Fresh
and it's exciting because it keeps our life a little, you know, it mixes it up.
Lots of our listeners dream about doing the same thing, coming down to a place like Placencia, Belize, and starting a business like this. If you had one piece of advice to give somebody who was thinking about coming down doing the same thing that you're doing now, I don't encourage the competition, but...
We like it.
If you were going to give a piece of advice to somebody thinking about doing the same thing, what would it be?
I think for people who want to come down and start a small business, it is more challenging now, for sure. We kind of came in right before they sort of have put a little more restrictive, you know...
So regulations have grown up and...
Yeah. You know, this country is very prideful, and they very much want to keep Belizeans, you know, employed.
Sure.
And so they make it very challenging for Americans to come down, or anybody, Canadians, to come down. They will work with you, especially if you have something...
if you have something to offer, if you have a niche business, if you have something that is a trade or something that they can see that can benefit the country, then you're more apt to be sort of looked at as a...
An enhancement to what they have. But so I think it would be doing your homework, definitely, before you come down here. On
like many countries, they don't want people coming down taking jobs away from locals who could be doing the same thing.
Yeah. The most challenging thing for our business was we came with a very, still very first world mentality. And our original menu was more of a tapas style. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of small plates and stuff that was extremely popular, obviously, where we were in New York, and we had been in L.A. for many years. It didn't work. And within, 2 months, we were like, okay, people are hungry. They've been out diving all day. They have a completely different time clock. They want a big meal. They want to go to bed. They want to eat early. So we had to adapt very quickly to that. And it was something that I think if you have a lot... Some people come down here and they don't succeed because they have an ego, or they think they're right and their way is the way it should be, and they don't listen to their market and they don't adapt. We immediately adapted. We made a very fundamental base core menu. That was the other thing, is we were outpricing all of the locals and even the expats. So, and not even just outpricing, out conceptualizing. You know, people here were still a little more fundamental. So we made a very not basic core menu, but a very, very
approachable.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, from a great cheeseburger, great pastas, chimichanga, our fish tacos are we're known for, and then we feature our specials every night, and that's right. Better for our business, you know, better for the people.
How have you guys been accepted into the community, both the business community here and the social community? Has it been a hurdle for you, or how have you found the locals accepting you?
I think it takes a little while for anybody that comes down here to sort of assimilate and get into the mix of you know, socializing. I think it was hard for us the first year because everybody that, I mean, especially expats that come down, some, whether they're opening a business or they're just coming down here to live, are very transient. Mm-hmm. And they're in that transient stage, for example, the first year. And it takes about a year for the locals and the expats to really accept you because you
trust you
right. That you're not going to just take off.
Win their hearts and then break them.
And that's what happens. And I would say it was like end of season two is when we really felt comfortable.
Well, and a good example is the way our bar restaurant is. For instance, right now with this game going on, you know, you've got hundreds of locals around the field. Well, you also have the chairman, which is our mayor, sitting at the bar. We have a veranda that looks out over the field, so mm-hmm. you can, you know, have great cocktails, watch the game. The chairman's here. The general manager of the Turtle Inn, Francis Ford Coppola's, and his crew are all here. Then you've got some local guys out there. And any given night here, you'll have that, and then you'll have, you know, tourists from Texas or from Ontario sitting next to a fishing guy that's mm-hmm. sitting next to one of the realtors that's, you know, been here for 25 years. So, I mean, we really have finally, I think, people after 3 years recognize that we have their best interest at heart, making things affordable for them, making an environment that they can be comfortable in, even though they may have never worn a pair of shoes in their life.
Yeah.
They can still come in here, and we're going to love them. And
they know you're not going anywhere.
Right.
They know that you're not just here to get what you
when
can.
When I had a child, when I delivered my child in Belize, it was pretty much, that was, I think, the turning point. Because mm-hmm. I gave birth to my child in Belize City, and that was when people went, okay, they're serious.
Seriously,
you know, like, I'm not flying back to the States. I'm not going to, you know, I had her here, and so she's Belizean, you know.
Have you had any qualms about raising your daughter here? How old is she now?
A year and a half.
A year and a half?
So we're, you know, we always say we're on the 5-year plan. We just don't know when it started. I think it's starting
familiar.
Like today. Uh-huh. So I don't know. We'll, you know, we're very open. We have a successful business. We really enjoy doing it. We love our customers, the new ones, the regulars. She can be educated here very well. There's not, I have no concern about that. Whether we someday decide that, you know, we want her, we both even discuss a lot more of just going either further south. I don't know if the States is necessarily where will go. So we really are not worried about that. They have a beautiful education system here. They also have a great homeschool sort of classroom mm-hmm. model that works really well here too. That
are you guys ever tempted to just pack it in and go back to the States? Are there those
what
days
time is that it? That was about 2 hours ago. I was like, forget it!
We stay on the peninsula about 300 days a year. Uh-huh. So now we're on 260-something.
Yeah.
So we got about 40 more days left until we actually go on our two-month break.
Okay.
So
tough time to ask us.
Yeah, tough time to ask us. Yeah, if you were to ask us back in the beginning of October, whatever. Uh-huh. But right now we're ready to get a little first world and sort of get that first world injection. And
so you get a chance to go back, see family, do your shopping, get stuff done, get reacquainted with the art scene, and
Go to Target.
Yeah. Go to Target.
That's really all that matters to me. Is going to Target.
For the most part, you know, I think doing it now, this is going on our fourth year going home, mm-hmm. or third year going home?
Third year going home.
I feel that I don't really want as much as I want as I did it when I was in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Down here, you can pretty much live on a real simple.
It's comforting, actually.
And so, if you just go back for a month or two, really for me, it just takes care of whatever I need to take care of for the entire year, and that's, i.e., shopping or movies, and I just basically just clump it all together in 60 days, and then we're back here and doing our thing. So, but.
You guys, thank you so much. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Sign up for International Living's free daily postcards at internationalliving.com/radio and get a free report on the world's top retirement havens. These free daily postcards will give you more information on living the good life for less overseas. Thanks for listening to International Living Radio. You can hear more episodes of Finding Your Overseas Paradise at internationalliving.com/radio.